Hello and welcome to Batflips and Nerds, the podcast that gives you a British take on baseball. For this week's podcast, we're back in the Australian Baseball League with yet another exclusive interview. This week, you're going to hear from the Melbourne Aces left-hand pitcher, Josh Tolles, who's speaking to our friend Joey Mellows, who's currently over in Kansas City rather than his usual place in Seoul in Korea, talking to Josh over the internet over in Melbourne. It's a really fun interview. Josh talks about the ABL, about time spent in the Kansas City T-Bones organization of the American Association, and also his last year pitching in Japan in independent baseball over there for the Niigata Albirex. I'm sure we'll all be going and checking up on their results later in the season, having heard from Josh. The next voice that you will hear will be Joey's, so I'll hand over to him and he can take it away. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope that we hear more from Joey and more from Josh in the future.
Interview with Josh Tolles, left-handed pitcher for the Melbourne Aces. For our listeners back in the UK, Josh has a 2.27 career ABL ERA, 138.2 innings pitched with 176 strikeouts, 1.20 whip and a .199 opponent average. Josh, can you tell us more about how the ABL's grown since you started in 2010?
I think my 2010 was the first year of the new ABL. I think that's when it picked back up, and I think, we're eight years deep now. So back then, I mean, I was with Adelaide, and there was a lot of hype surrounding playing at Norwood and the Bite, and I didn't get the opportunity to play the whole season with them, but it was definitely a strong league back then, and I think it's only getting stronger every year with the quality of imports the American teams are sending in, and just the local talent, the young Australians coming through. I mean, Perth did a great job with all their local Aussies, and now Brisbane has the same kind of setup with theirs. We're coming through in Melbourne with a young group as well that should be dominant either this next few coming years. So I think it's been great for baseball in the country, and I hope that the next few years, as it expands, it gets better and better. And we see an increase in the popularity and participation numbers as well.
That's great. Josh, would you say that this year's the year that the ABL has been covered probably more than ever before on a global level?
I believe so, with the inclusion of some of the Taiwanese players, Japanese guys. I think the viewing numbers on YouTube are through the roof, so it's good to get the game exposed, especially the ABL. I mean, obviously being in Australia, it's not one of the biggest sports, so we can get it seen worldwide without that big budget like the other sports. It's great. It's great for the league, and hopefully it continues to grow, and especially in the Asian market, so we can get seen over there as well. So yeah,
fantastic, Josh. I understand you're playing in the All-Star game later this week. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, tomorrow for us here.
So how will you prepare for that? Will it be just the same as a normal day, or will there be lots of different things tomorrow?
The All-Star Games are a little different. There's obviously they try and make an event for the crowd and more enjoyable for the people there. So it's kind of a time to relax. And I think that there's quite a few pitchers on the team, so just basically prepare for maybe one inning at most. So just kind of have fun and take it all in, and enjoy wearing the Team Australia jersey again, and put on a good show for the fans.
Fantastic. Josh, how does a pitcher normally prepare? Like, you know, can you tell us about your game day routine on a normal pitching day?
Yeah, this season's been a little bit different. I was going to start this year, and then got moved to the bullpen. But as a starter, it's a lot easier to develop that routine. So you obviously know what game you're going to throw, so you plan your week around that. It's more so the weekly preparation when you're throwing your bullpen, when you get your long toss and arm care and stuff in, and your weight session. So it starts pretty much the day after the game, recovery, and then the bullpen session. But on a game day, I like to probably relax more than most people. I kind of try and do nothing at all until it's time to go to the field. And then about an hour and a half before the game, I start getting ready with my various stretches. And I'll go see our physio and get some work done. And then 30 minutes before the game, just start playing catch and get ready to go.
I see. And Josh, what's the difference for our, you know, for our listeners back in the UK? What is the difference between a pitcher being labelled a starter or a pitcher being, you know, kind of put in the bullpen as a specialist, closer, or setup guy?
I would say that they're normally a different breed. I mean, starting pitchers, they're there for one game. You have a different mindset, I suppose. You try to go deep into the game, probably seven, eight innings, and hand it over to the bullpen. But
Right. Josh, can you tell us a bit about your journey, you know, before you got to, you know, where you are now in the ABL with, you know, leaving Australia when you were younger and playing in the independent leagues in the USA?
Yep, so I started in 2008. I think I first went over to a junior college in Quincy, Illinois, and I spent two seasons there and then transferred to Rockhurst University, where I spent three seasons. And then my first ABL experience was in the Pecos League. I'm not sure if you know too much about the Pecos League, but it's not the most glamorous league that there is in the American indie ball system, but I thoroughly enjoyed my time there, and if I had to do it all again, I'd go back and do exactly the same, because you just meet a different breed of baseball player, because, I don't know, just not many people choose to go there. You kind of just, it's your last hope to kind of get a job, so thankfully, I had a good coach, and he helped me get out of the league at the end of the season. So I went and signed with the Kansas City T-Bones in the American Association after that. And then I spent 2 years with the T-Bones in KC before playing in Japan last season in indie ball.
Oh, wow. Josh, have you seen the documentary about the Pecos League? On I think it was on Fox or something. So, Josh, how much of a step up was there then between the Pecos and the American Association where you played with the T-Bones?
Quite a bit. More so, I was lucky enough to come home for the Australian summer and play a season in the ABL, so I kind of got to bridge myself a little bit from Pecos to ABL then the American Association. I think I would have been a little bit overwhelmed if I went from the Pecos to the American Association right away, but I think just the quality 1 through 9 of the lineups that you face. Obviously, the American Association is a lot of guys that have been affiliated or even played in the big leagues, and they're still trying to get re-signed or move forward themselves. Or on the other end, you've got the veteran guys who just want to keep on playing. So 1 through 9, the lineups are a lot deeper, and you're facing better hitters, more disciplined hitters as well. So it was a bit of a transition at first. I obviously didn't together the numbers I wanted to in the American Association the 2 years I was there, but it was an enjoyable experience, so I'd love to go back.
Absolutely. Josh, are you in touch with, well, you must know Dan Vaughan, do you, or have you met him on the road in the ABL this season?
Yeah, so I met him in person when he was at Gary. We spoke every time either he came to KC or we were in Gary, Indiana, so I get him well down. I always love having a chat with him, and he's back this year with Perth, and he was actually with the T-Bones this year, but I was in Japan, so I missed out on him being our call guy. But yeah, great guy, and love the way he calls the game.
Absolutely. And Josh, can you tell us a bit more about your time at, I think it was Rockhurst University, where you played college ball?
Yeah, so after junior college, I actually committed to Quincy University in Illinois, but kind of a family emergency. I went to JUCO for 2 years without coming home, so I just had a family emergency and decided to, instead of going to Quincy, to come home. And I kind of thought that might have been the end of my college experience, taking that year off, but I reached out to Gary Burns and Mark Sappington over at Rockhurst, and I just happened to work out, so I went over there the next year, pitched all the way through the spring, and then actually tore my UCL and had Tommy John surgery, so I had to redshirt the following season and ended up finishing my senior year as a 24-year-old super senior, I think they call it. So right. 3 years there, but I was able to graduate, which I didn't think I was going to do when I first still talk to a lot of the people I went to school with there.
Oh, fantastic. Josh, from my research, I've got down here that you majored in psychology. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I started off as exercise science and kind of hadn't taken science classes since ninth grade, so had some issues. And being a baseball player, you obviously go over there to play baseball in school, was kind of a secondary thought for me. But then after the injury, I kind of sat down and thought about what I wanted to do. And I've always enjoyed sports psychology and the mental side of pitching and all that kind of stuff. So it just seemed right to kind of take that in and try and learn about that more. And I think it's benefited me. I don't know what I'll do with the degree eventually when I'm done, but I enjoyed it. And yeah, I'm glad I got it.
So, Josh, when we spoke the other day, you were saying that you you had work in the morning. So are you currently working two jobs with the baseball in the evening at the weekends for the ABL, and then you have a regular job during the week? Is that correct?
Yeah, so the way the ABL is structured, a lot of the Australian guys actually work full-time or part-time jobs. There's not a lot of money in the league, so we can't really live off the salaries. So it's hard to do, and it's kind of prevented me from getting a real job when you go for an interview and they ask you what you can work, and you tell them I need Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sundays off, and they kind of just laugh at you. So a lot of labour-type work to do. So I've been doing that the last few years, and, I mean, I enjoy it, but it definitely helps because, obviously, the cost of living and all that, you can't really live off your ABL salary. So, yep, I'll work a few days a week and then baseball on the weekends, basically.
Fantastic. And if we can talk briefly about you know, Team Australia and you know how baseball is growing in the country, particularly in relation to, you know, were Team Australia happy with the performance in the 2017 WBC Championship?
I think as a whole, it's been a good few years for the Australian national teams. I think our juniors have done a really good job with the 18s and 23s, and our world rankings, the highest that have been at 7th in the world right now. So I think that's obviously awesome for the country and the growth of the game, and it'll open a lot more doors for future events. I know we've got some trial games in Japan this year, and then the Premier 12 tournament, and then obviously Olympic qualifiers that we're hoping to do as well. But I think overall there was a bit of disappointment surrounding the Classic. We were beating Japan and probably should have won that game, and then Cuba as well. We had them and couldn't get over the line in that first round, and although I think it was our highest ever finish in the WBC, I think we expected more as a group, and we wanted to go through that next round because we put the coaching staff put together a really good team, and I think we knew we could go better and do better than what we did. So, but overall, I mean, we're at 7th in the world. It's the best spot we've ever been in, and I guess it can only go up from here. So I think it's a bright future, bright few years for the Australian national teams.
Absolutely. And Josh, now you've had your surgery, how many more years do you think you'll carry on pitching for now? Are you feeling very healthy now?
Yeah, this is probably definitely the best I've felt in a while. Japan took a bit out of me. That was a little bit of a different experience. Just obviously not speaking the language and not really knowing what's going on, and then just going out there every week and throwing 9 innings. We've got a lot of great programs here that we follow along with. I know Melbourne's real big on the driveline throwing programs and stuff like that. So just taking care of myself more than I used to. Obviously, the surgery helped me with that, putting me through the year of rehab for my elbow, and it just helped build up my shoulder and everything. So just I think I had surgery in 2012, so just still doing the basic stuff I learned from that, and hopefully keep playing as long as I can. As long as I can keep finding a job, I'll keep playing.
Oh, fantastic. And Josh, which players from this season's ABL should fans in the UK be looking out for, you know, potentially for, you know, bigger things in the future?
On our team alone, our young shortstop Jared Dale, he's 17 and he's our starting shortstop. And last year he was unreal in his first year, and he's actually just signed with the Padres.
Wow.
So I expect some big things over him. He's on the All-Star game. He'll be playing Thursday, so I think that might be his first senior national team game there, so that's exciting for him. And we got Jackson Boyd, another young pitcher who showed some good signs in Canberra. He's been throwing the ball well for us as well. Jack Enciondo, he's been throwing it well. We just got, like, there's a long... We work with the juniors on Wednesday nights as well, so through the youth programs, the youth championships, Victoria's always been really strong. So I think the future for the Aces and Victorian baseball should be really good.
Fantastic. Josh, can you just quickly let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you via, you know, and follow you via social media?
Yep, I think Twitter and Instagram is the same, just at Tolsey21. And then just Josh Tolls on Facebook. That's it.
And outside of baseball, Josh, what are your sporting interests? Have you been watching much of the cricket recently?
I haven't had too much time. I kind of feel pretty un-Australian for being the only one not paying attention to the Ashes, but I saw that we won, so that was good. But no, just a big baseball guy. Don't really have an interest in much else. Being away so long over the last 10 years, I just kind of lost track with the AFL and cricket and all that kind of stuff. So just baseball.
So growing up, Josh, how did you fall in love with baseball? Did you have a particular team in the MLB or a particular player that you looked up to as you were pitching when you were younger?
Yeah, so my parents just took me out to T-ball. They had friends that were playing at the local club and just stumbled upon it that way. And then I think my first real influence with American baseball is when we had the Goodwill Series in under 14. That's when we had some American travel teams come over and actually stayed with you. Huh. So my first Billet family was from LA, so they brought me over a bunch of Angels gear. So I think I kind of liked the Angels for a while, and then once I went after college and was living in Kansas City, kind of loved going. We got free tickets to a lot of the Royals games, and then obviously that just 5 years in KC, and I just fell in love with the Royals. So favorite pitchers though, growing up, probably Johan Santana, Cliff Lee, and Billy Wagner, just lefties. Shorter lefties, I guess. I love watching baseball, learning about the game, and just watching MLB games. I could do it every day.
So, Josh, when your career, hopefully long career, comes to an end, do you hope to work in baseball? You know, in a coaching or managerial role in the future, scouting possibly.
I don't know. I've been asked to do some private lessons just recently, and I don't know how I would teach kind of what I do. I kind of throw weird, so I don't know if I want to teach that to the future generations, but I love being around the game. I don't think I could answer that question until I'm done playing, because the thought of coaching now is just frustrating, because I'd want to get out on the mound and kind of do it myself. But I wouldn't mind maybe going back to school and trying to get my master's so I could do the sports psychology side of things. I think that would be great to work with teams in that aspect, but I'll probably coach. Most players do, or do something in the game. I don't want to just stop playing baseball and that's it and move on. But yeah, I'll try and stay in the game as long as I can.
Right. So Josh, at the moment, looking back at your career up to this point, you know, what's been the highlight for you so far?
Probably the first All-Star game I made in the ABL. The ABL has been great to me. Obviously, coming from college, you just kind of disappear off the radar for a while, and then my first full season in the ABL had some success and made the Australian team through that. And then the WBC qualifiers was a great experience. And obviously the WBC, that was kind of my taste of Major League Baseball, like flying over to Japan and having your own hotel room, as opposed to in the Packers where we had seven people in one room at one point. So I think the WBC is hard to look past when it comes to the highlight as well, but just any time I can put on a uniform, really, whether that be an Aces uniform or an Australian uniform, even just my local club team, Fitzroy here, I'm just happy to play the game and happy to be around it. So it's hard to look back on just one moment and pick a highlight. I think just as a whole, I just love the game.
And Josh, I've always wondered when I watch pitches, how does it feel for you when, you know, you throw, you know, maybe you walk a batter and you see the coach coming out to the mound? What goes through your head? Is it people always seem to take it very well, but what are you feeling really when, you know, the coach comes out and either takes the ball off you or speaks to you?
If the pitching coach is coming out just to have a chat, that's fine. But if I see Steve's coming out, I know he's going to take the ball from me, and I'm just pissed off at that point, obviously. I don't mind getting taken out in between innings, but when they come out during mid-inning, that's kind of something I try to avoid at all costs. I want to be out there. I want to have the ball. before, and I think I can get out of it no matter kind of what the situation is. So more so anger at myself, obviously not directed towards the coaches, but you got to understand they have a plan as well. They've had the plan the whole game, and they want to work with some stuff, but it's not ideal. I kind of look at Justin Verlander as one of the guys. He kind of runs away from his coach, he has to try to come out, and then Max Scherzer, I think, just the crazy guys on the mound that just don't want to give the ball away, and that's kind of how I feel as well.
Right, and Josh, as a pitcher, which statistic do you find, you know, most accurate in terms of gauging your own performance after a game?
Ooh, that's a good question. I hate walking people, but I'm pretty good at some games. So I think if I can get out of the game without throwing a walk, I'm happy with that. I don't mind giving up hits or home runs as much, because obviously the hitter's done a good job there, but when you're just giving them a free pass to first base, that's frustrating. But I guess the quality start as well, quality starts and walks. If I can just get a quality start and low on the walk numbers, I'll be happy with my outing.
And how important, Josh, is the win for you? If you were pulled before the fifth inning, where you with your team leading, how annoyed would you be?
Not very. I mean, I've snaked a lot of wins out of the bullpen and had to buy a lot of starters a lot of beers for that. But the win, as long as the team wins at the end of the day, I'm happy. If we have a plan that a reliever needs, they think is a better matchup, and they want to bring you out, that's fine. The team win is what's big for me.
Yeah. And Josh, I'm currently in Kansas City, as I think you know, but I normally reside in Seoul, in the KBO. And it's quite common there after a home run for the hitter to, you know, to flip the bat. How annoyed are you, or does it not bother you at all if someone flips the bat after a home run?
No, I love it. I see it as a challenge. If they get all of it, they can do what they want, I guess. That's a good thing about pitching. It's kind of a competition between you and the hitter every single pitch. So if they beat you, they can celebrate all they like, and you just know next time you're going to be a bit better. So I like watching it. I think it brings a lot of excitement to the game as well, and especially those Asian bat flips, they're impressive. But I know some pitchers get mad with it, but a big saying in baseball, if you don't like it, play better. So I think that applies to that as well.
Absolutely. Josh, do you, from your time playing baseball, are there any very odd, you know, superstitions that you or some of your, you know, fellow players have kind of demonstrated before games or during games?
I have a lot of odd superstitions myself. I don't know. I think it started in junior college when I was a reliever and I was kind of running out of energy in the bullpen, so I started eating various types of candy before my innings, and that kind of adapted to now eating 3 trolley gummy worms before every inning. And as a starter, if I throw a complete game, that's just too many gummy worms to be eating. And I've tried kicking it a few times, but it's just, I don't know, it's just hard to do. Once you get it in your head that this works for you, it's hard to kind of get over that superstition. So, I mean, I'll do the same routine in the dugout in between innings. I'll sit down for 2 outs, and then 2 outs I'll get a drink of water, and then wait at the end of the dugout ready to go again. So I think that's just developed over the years, and I kind of wouldn't know what to do if I couldn't do them anymore, I guess.
I see. And what about, you know, some of your colleagues? Have you seen anything, you know, stranger than, you know, gummy worms, etc.?
One of my teammates in Adelaide, Stephen Welch, he would always touch his hat and grab his box, touch his hat, touch his sleeve in between every pitch, and he would turn around to no one and tell him how many outs there are. So, I mean, there's a few little quirks that a lot of guys have, but I can't really recall a completely strange one, but yeah, each guy is different with what they do and what they think works.
Yeah. Josh, recently I read that some of the Astros hitters in the World Series believed that Darvish was tipping his pitches. How do you make sure that that's something you don't do? And can you explain a bit more to our listeners about the signs that you know, the catcher gives you? I mean, without giving too much away about the aces, of course.
Yeah. Tipping pitches is something I've kind of struggled with. I remember once in the Packers League at the end of the game, the opposition team told me I was tipping pitches with my breathing. If I took a deep breath in, I was throwing a fastball, and if I didn't take a deep breath, they knew something off-speed was coming. So it's something you got to kind of... It's not something you'll catch yourself, so you got to rely on the coaches or something to pick it up, or the fielders, and, I mean, they'll tell you if you're doing it. A lot of guys, if they throw a certain pitch that's hard to grip, like a changeup or a split finger, they'll start with that first and then move it to the secondary
Josh, with regard to the unwritten rules of baseball, what are the rules, you know, that you can kind of tell our listeners are still very important within the game that we might not, you know, spot immediately just from watching it on television?
I mean, I'm not sure I'm old enough for a lot of those unwritten rules. I think that was kind of passed before me. But just the few basics, the pitcher has a no-hitter, no bunting after the fifth inning or stuff like that. But I couldn't tell you any more than that. I guess I'm not old school enough to appreciate that side of the game.
Right, so Josh, so no one's ever, you know, kind of whispered in your ear, you know, the next batter up, hit a home run off the last guy, you know, you need to, you know, come up and inside on him or anything like that?
I mean, we will have a scouting report on the hitters, and the catcher might, if he gets something important, so he might come out and tell you the plan just to face him or come out for a chat. But I guess, yeah, too, just communication with the team. We do a good job of scouting guys, and we kind of have a plan for each hitter, and that relies a lot more on the catcher than the pitcher, so I'd be kind of lost without the guy back there. So, yeah, have him doing the thinking, and I'm just on there just trying to execute the pitches.
And, Josh, in terms of, you know, people stealing bases, do you pride yourself on being a pitcher that is fairly good at, you know, making sure that people don't run on you?
I wish I could, but my pickoff move is pretty average being left-handed. I think I rely more on the fact that I'm left-handed than anything else, and I'll read the runner more than most guys. I'll watch them kind of until the last minute. If I see them break, I'll just put my foot down and throw it first. So I think I pride myself more on my ability to read than my actual pickoff. It's just I've worked on it for quite a few years and just can't get that dirty move. I know Travis Blackley has probably one of the best moves I've ever seen, and there's even highlight reels on YouTube. So I've talked to him a little bit when we were in Tokyo about that, and I think it's just something that you've got to develop and work on, and he did that at a younger age. So for me, it's just, I'm working on it. I want it to be something I become better at, because there's nothing better than walking a guy and picking him off right away. And I think that'll be a part of my game that I kind of want to improve in.
And Josh, in terms of your pitching repertoire, can you explain to our listeners how, you know, what your current repertoire of pitches is and how it may have changed over time, and what and how you see it possibly changing again in the future?
Right now, I throw a fastball, a 4-seam fastball, a curveball, a slider, and a changeup. I've always been kind of a guy that enjoys pitching backwards, so I'd like to throw off-speed and fastball counts and fastballs and off-speed counts kind of thing. And obviously, I'm 5'7", I don't really light up the radar gun. So for me, it's more about tilts, setting pitches up in the zone, down in the zone, throwing off speed in any count. So it's basically keeping guys off balance. And I guess when I'm out there, I just try not to think too much about, I don't want to do too much out there. So it's just seeing a sign. If I want to throw it, I'll throw it. And if not, I'll shake it off. But if they want me to throw that pitch, I'll do my best to execute it. But I think, I don't know if my repertoire has changed a whole lot. Obviously, when I was younger, didn't have the curveball, didn't have the slider. But never really been the hardest thrower, so just finding ways to get hitters out and compete with the change of speed and location works for me.
I see. And Josh, please forgive me, but seeing as you know you are pitching in Australia, is sledging something that happens in the ABL, or is that just cricket?
No, it does. Yeah, it definitely does. Our catcher, Alan D. San Miguel, he's probably one of the biggest ledgers in the league. He'll let a pitcher know if he's angry at him. But I think it's more just on the field, kind of white line fever. It's nothing, just a bit of fun, I guess. I enjoy it. I get it like more from the crowd on away games. You'll hear the comments coming through. I just kind of step off and laugh and then kind of refocus. But I think it's been a big part of baseball in Australia, as it is in a lot of Australian sports.
Can you share with us, Josh, you know, some of the more memorable heckles that you have either received or given?
Well, a lot of mine are to do with my height. So I think one of the guys somewhere in Perth just asked who left the hat on the mound. that made me laugh quite a bit. But the short jokes, that I get those a lot, and you just kind of just laugh and move on, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Josh, where do you think you'll be playing, you know, this time next, the summer first, and then this time next year as well? Would you like to be, you know, back at the ABL with Melbourne, or back up at Adelaide, perhaps?
Yeah, so my focus right now is obviously finishing this season with the Aces, but I got to start looking for the winter. I'd love to go back to the American Association, whether it be with the T-Bones or any other team there. I really enjoyed that league. For me, that was kind of my minor league experience. They do a really good job of looking after you over there, so I'd like to do that, but I'm open to playing pretty much anywhere in the world that's going to give me an opportunity to play. And then next season, I'll be back with the Aces as well. Really like it here in Melbourne. It's been a great change for me, and love working with the group of players we have and the coaches and everything. So, and yeah, just kind of like love living here. So, hopefully, be back with Melbourne for a while.
Fantastic. And Josh,
how are the league still going?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. How does the process work, Josh, for you getting a job next summer, in the Northern Hemisphere at least? How do you go about that?
This year I'm kind of in a different spot. Previously, after the Pecos League, I signed with the T-Bones while I was still in the state and went over, and then they re-signed me that year as well. So, and then I stepped out and went to Japan. So I'm not really sure how to go about it. I need to just message some people I know and send some emails and see if I can get some people to reach out for me. But it's difficult. I don't have an agent or anything, so it's just, I guess, on my own to find a job. Just sending some emails with some video and some stats and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And is that similar for many of the guys in the ABL at the moment?
Yeah, a lot of the guys will play in Europe as well, and there's been a good representation of Australians in Germany, the Netherlands, France even. So there's a lot of people that know and have been there long enough, and as the pathways have paved the way kind of to open the doors around the world. And that's kind of how I got to Japan last year. I played for the same team that Mitch Denning, David Candlelis, Steve Chambers, Daryl George, Boss Monero all played for. So I think as long as there's been an Aussie on the team, you kind of, it's kind of a foot in the door there. So the baseball community is a pretty small one in the scheme of things. So hopefully it's about sending the right email to the right person and kind of going from there.
Right. And Josh, for our listeners in the UK, how can they watch you, hopefully in action, for the All-Star game this week?
I believe it'll be on ABL TV on YouTube. I'd have to double check on that, but I think the same way that they're going to stream the games, the same way they do throughout the season, is just on the YouTube channel.
Fantastic. Well, Josh, thanks ever so much for joining us today. And for our listeners back in the UK, it's at Tolsey21. Give them a follow on Twitter. It's very humorous Twitter account Josh has got there. What are you up to for the rest of the day, Josh?
Going to do some last-minute Christmas shopping before I head back to Adelaide on Friday. So.
Oh, I see.
Left it a bit late, as usual. But
classic. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, thanks ever so much, mate, for joining us. And, best of luck for this week, and hopefully speak to you again soon.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Bye-bye.